Yeah. Okay. The Lord bless you for sharing. We would delve straight into the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you so much. Okay, we want to pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you are with us always. We thank you that today too you'll be king over this place and over the heart of your people, over the minds of your people, over the will of your people. And at the end, let God be lifted. I pray in the name of Jesus that you grant me utterance and you touch these lips of clay. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you are here, let me see your amen coming like thunder. My God. Amen and amen and amen and amen. If you are here, let me see your amen coming forth. Glory to Jesus. Let your amen come. Let your amen come. The Lord bless you. Quickly, we want to go straight to our series. My God. We want to delve straight into our series. That is our Kings and Queens series. Kings and Queens series. Yesterday we started something and we said that life is a mystery. Life is a mystery that very few people unfold life or the mystery of life. Very few people can demystify life. There are strategies of life that if you neglect these strategies, you would use your strength. But you should always go for strategies over strength. Always go for more of the mind and less of the muscles. If you use more muscles, that means you are using less of the mind. If you are using more strength, it means you are using less strategies. Less strategies. So life is a mystery that people should unfold. Hallelujah. 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 We said something that the Bible is a book that is inspired by God, written by people, about people, and for people. If you understand the Bible in such a manner, you would be able to appreciate everything that is written in the word of the Lord. We also talked about the personality of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. And we said that we need the person of Jesus for earth. And we need the person of Jesus for eternity and the principles of Jesus for earth. If you accept the person of Jesus, you are bound for eternity, for heaven. But if you neglect the principles of Jesus, even after accepting the person of Jesus, you would suffer here on earth and in everything that you do. We need the principles of Jesus to do well here on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we also emphasize the fact that life is for observers. And if you don't watch in life, it means that you would not be able to rise to the apex and the zenith of life. Before you rise up to certain heights and to certain realms and to certain corridors, you must be someone who should observe. And the whole Bible contains models. Models are important. To succeed and to do well, you need to learn models. And we are saying that in this series, the people that we are going to study about their life are kings and queens. There are treasures and there are good stuff that are hidden in the life of kings and queens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why should we study about kings and queens? We would get to understand very soon that we are kings and we are priests for our Lord Jesus. God created us to be kings. God created us to dominate. God created us to take charge. God created us to multiply. God created us into the kingship. The kingship. This rulership. God created you and I to be kings. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 7 says that I have seen slaves on horseback while princes got on foot. Go on foot like slaves. This is an error. Yesterday I said something that anytime that you see such an error in the Bible, it means something. It means that there has been a portray of the ignorance and the negligence of the children of God. The Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. We do not perish because of lack of prayer. We do not perish because of lack of fasting. We do not perish because of lack of anointing. But God's people perish because of lack of knowledge. And the Bible says, because you have rejected knowledge, I, God, I have rejected you. So if you reject knowledge, God rejects you. It is not only you that God rejects. God rejects you and your children and your children's children. So your ignorance is a tool of the enemy. And the enemy measures on your ignorance. And the enemy makes sure that you don't have knowledge about the things of God. The enemy makes sure that you don't have knowledge. You are not knowledgeable, because if you are not knowledgeable, he can use you and use your children and use your children's children to the glory of God. That is why the enemy will not prevent a believer from going for fasting and prayers. That is why the enemy is not bothered when you go for prophetic night, but the enemy is bothered when you are gaining knowledge. Because the more knowledge you get, the more information you have, the more your life is parallel, the more your life is twined, the more your life synchronizes with what heaven has ordained for you to live here on the earth. So the enemy blocks you from becoming knowledgeable. The enemy is always contending with information from hitting you, because the more ignorant you are, the more he can use you for his work. Glory to Jesus and mercy on our heads. Yesterday we listed a lot of things that we would do. We said that we are going to talk about kings, the scarcity of true kings, the abdicated kings. You talk about the anointing of kings. You talk about the crowns, the crowning of kings, the blessings of kings, the dominion of kings, the heart of kings, the visions of kings, the wealth of kings, the wisdom of kings, the revelation of kings, the strength of kings, the weaknesses of kings and queens, the stature of kings and queens, the judgment of kings and queens, the fame and influence of kings and queens. We talk about the authority and the power of kings, the decisions of kings, the grace and the generosity of kings. You talk about the council of kings, who advises the kings. We talk about the wars of kings, the strategies of kings, and many more, and many more. So today, let's start. Yesterday we did introduction. Today let's start something. Let somebody praise Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. If you missed yesterday's teaching, kindly go, when we end this session, you go back, you listen to yesterday's session. We've uploaded it, so you can listen to it and you catch up with us. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. And another person should also praise Revelation chapter 19 verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10, and I read, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The Bible is saying that God has made us kings and priests, and you've made them to be the kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. It means that God has made you and I kings. God has made us priests. The New Testament believer is a 3D believer. When I say a 3D believer, I am trying to say that the New Testament believer functions in three offices. That is the office of the prophet, the office of the priest, and the office of the king. You are a king, you are a prophet, you are a priest. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So the Bible makes us understand that our prototype, Jesus, who is our prototype, who we derived our kingship from. Jesus is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. So actually you are a king, you are a queen, you are a king. Glory to Jesus. You are a king, you are a king. The issue is that Jesus is our king, and we derive our kingship and our authority from Jesus. Somebody say, I'm a king. Somebody say, I'm a queen. Somebody say, I am a king.
I'm a king.
Somebody say, I am a king.
I'm a king.
Somebody say, I am a king.
I'm a king.
My God. My God. My God. So if you are a king, then you should study from kings. If you are a king, then you should start studying from a king. You should be able to understand how kings move, the dynamics in kingship, in rulership. You should be able to understand all these things because you are a king. So, who is a king? Who is a king? The Hebrew word for king is melech. Melech means to possess, to reign. The Hebrew word for king is melech. M-E-L-E-K-H. So melech means to possess and to reign. So by narrow definition, we know that a king is someone who is a supreme
ruler of an independent territory. So if you are a supreme ruler of an independent territory, then you are a king. This is the narrow definition of who a king is. In a broader sense, a king may be a person regarded as supreme in so many other ways. When I say so many other ways, is that we have kings in a lot of places. We have kings in the church. We have kings in preaching. We have kings in doing good. We have kings in politics. We have kings in a whole lot of places. We have kings in ministry. Any person who is regarded supreme, that is having authority, power, capability, influence, fame, recognition in a certain field, is recognized as a king. That is why we have people saying they are musical kings. We have people calling themselves dancehall king. So if they are dancehall king, what they are trying to say is that when you come to dancehall music, they are kings at that place. That is why we have people calling themselves kings of football. It means that when you come to football, they see themselves as authoritative. They have the power, they have the capability, they have the fame, they have the influence, they have the recognition in that field. So they call themselves kings of football. So as I am talking to you right now, the reality is your mind has started picking out kings. People that you perceive to be kings in fields. As I talked about dancehall music, your minds will be picking certain people. As I talk about gospel music, your mind will go to certain key people. As I talk about football, your mind will be turned to certain two people. As I talk about rap, your mind will be channeled to certain people. As I talk about different positions and different fields, you will see certain people who dominate. Who dominate. And their domination makes them classified as kings in that sphere. So there are kings in politics, there are kings in finance, there are kings in science, there are kings in technology, there are kings in sports, there are kings in arts, there are kings in music. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. May you find your way to kingship.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. May you find your way to kingship.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. May you find your way to kingship. The issue is that God calls you king. You are a king. That is the latter. The latter kill it. Until you declare the latter, and the latter enters your spirit, and your spirit agrees with the words that is written in scriptures. Until the latter turns to be rhema, to be living, you are not really in that category. That is why people read that I am the head and not the tail. They read that they are the head and not the tail. But they are the tail in everything. It is because the word has not synchronized with their spirit. So it is just the latter. It is not the rhema. I want somebody to follow me. I want you to follow me gradually. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Presently, there are many kings in the world and in the church of Jesus Christ who are not even aware of their positions. There are also many kings who are just beginning to enter their kingly call, their kingly ministry, their kingly destiny. It takes illumination for them to be aware of such a kingly call. But I am praying for somebody specifically right now. As you are connected right now, I pray that let your eyes be opened and let your understanding be gathered up, that you have a kingly call, a kingly ministry, and a kingly destiny. God did not call us to wallow ourselves in mediocrity. God did not call us to wallow in mediocrity and to soak ourselves in standards that do not measure the standards that heaven has concerning our life. My God. So there is a standard that God has called every child of God to. If you don't match up to that standard, you are living in mediocrity. There is a realm that God is calling his people to. If you don't match up, it means that you are forfeiting your kingly call, kingly assignment, kingly ministry, kingly destiny. It is important that you understand such a call. It is important that you understand such a ministry. It is important that you understand where God has placed you. In every realm, in every place you find yourself in this world, you can be a king and you can accept this your kingly call. No matter how small you think it is, if you would do it well, and if you would wake up to this call, you would see how glorified. You would see how your body, through you, God will be glorified. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. May your eyes be opened. May your eyes be open. May your eyes be open. In the name of Jesus. So there are a lot of people who don't understand this principle of life. There are a lot of people who think that it takes just one job to be dominated. It takes just one particular thing that when you do, you'll be recognized as a king or as a queen. No. In that place that God has called you, if you embrace it, you embrace such a call and work your way through, you understand that God can bless you to function in such a place. So, who is a king? Kings, broadly speaking, are usually people at the top. The best, the champions, the leaders in their respective fields. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So now let's go. Let's move on to the scarcity of kings. When you read Malachi chapter 4, verse 9. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says something. He says that, now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Is there no king in your midst? Is there no king in your midst? Prophet Micah asked, is there no wise? Is there no strong? Is there no decisive leader? Is there no one with authority? Is there no somebody with power to deliver and to bless? Is there no one in the position of influence and of faith? Is there no one with the magnanimity to provide the needed assistance and resources for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? There came a time in the land of the Israelites that there were no king. There wasn't anybody as strong. There wasn't anybody as wise. There wasn't anybody decisive. There wasn't any leader. There wasn't any deliverer. There wasn't any godly authoritative person. There was no one with the position of influence. And there was nobody with the magnanimity to provide the needed assistance and resources for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. There are scarcity of true kings in our life. When you look at life and you see people die, don't blame God. Blame men. Blame kings who have abdicated their thrones. Blame ignorant men that walk, that they don't know that they are called to a kingly destiny. When you walk by and you see that people are hungry and they cannot be fed, don't blame God. Blame man who has refused to allow the will of God to be done through them. When you walk by and you see people who have no master, who have no control, and you see people drunk in the gutters, do not blame God. Blame man. Blame man. Somebody. Actually, blame a believer who is not willing to enter his kingly call and his queenly call. So when people are suffering, when there is no school, when there is no proper management, do not look at God. God is a good God. God is a good God. And he will continually be a good God. It is man that is not faithful. It is man that is not willing to take up our call. You see, if somebody refuses to enter this kingly call, if God calls somebody to be a building contractor and the person lies and wallow in mediocrity, and the person does not come to such a stand, and the person does not catch up to such a stand, you get it? The issue is that there are a lot of people whose destiny is connected to such a person. And because of such a person who could not walk up to that kingly call, generations will enter into poverty, misery, tears.
Ma
My God.
So there are people that God called them to build three-story buildings. And these story buildings, they should give to the orphans. They should give to the aged. But these people did not accept their kingly call. They wallowed in church. They wallowed in mediocrity. They thought that what God gives is only anointing to pray and it stays there. And they don't understand that God can give wisdom and God can give ideas. And these ideas will bring a lot of resources and there are a lot of destinies that are tied to your life. Refusal to enter your kingly call is generations in bondage, is generations suffering. You check everywhere, wherever there is leadership problem, there is poverty. You check the continent where there is leadership problem, there is poverty. There is poverty. Listen, the anointing of God is not just for church. The anointing of God is not just in the four corridors of the church. The anointing of God is for business. The anointing of God is for ideas. The anointing of God is for building. The anointing of God is for doing good. When you do this, it is the will of God. It is you fulfilling your earthly kingship, and generations will be saved, and generations will be fed. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus that for you, you will not miss this mark. For you, you'd not miss this mark. Anytime somebody lift up their eyes and cry, anytime somebody becomes sad, anytime somebody is suffering for what to eat, for what to drink, for who to advise, for care, for maintenance, it means that the years before there was a king, there was somebody that refuse to accept his or her kingly destiny. So you see, I heard of a story, and the story that I heard was that there was this man. He met another Christian. When he met the Christian, he asked the Christian, why is it that if God is good, why is it that this person, kids are dying? Why is it that pregnant women do not have transport to meet the necessary requirement? Or to be at proper hospitals for them to be taken care of, and they die along the way. Is God that wicked? Then the person answered, it is not God who is wicked. It is men who have refused to accept that call. God called somebody to single-handedly build a hospital, but the person refused and wallowed in mediocrity. God called somebody to single-handedly build roads, but the person placed the money in his coffers, in his account, and chopped with the wife alone and with the kids. The person built swimming pool for themselves, and they stopped all these things. And we go back and we blame God, who supplies, who give rain, who has given us a lot of resources, who has given us gold, diamonds, timber, cocoa. And because of kings, and because of you and I, who have refused to rise up to this call, these things are mismanaged these things are mismanaged. And we go back and blame God. And we point fingers at God. And we curse God. Mercy on our head. Mercy on our head. Mercy on our head. Mercy on our head. We thank God for courageous and devoted people who have accepted this call. We thank God for fathers who have done great things for us. We thank God for people who stood their grounds in that small capacity they had to enforce the will of God. We thank God for them. We thank God for them. But the issue is that in general, there is still a great scarcity of true and great kings all over the world. Check your department. There is one person. Check your church. There is somebody refusing. Check your homes. There is somebody refusing. There are a lot of people refusing to honor the call to be kings. And to be queens. The ministry of kings is very important. It's very crucial. Among many spiritual offices, the elevated and strategic office of kings is one of the great and very influential offices that God has ever given men. It is my prayer that God will use this message to teach you and instruct and inspire you and to raise more kings to fulfill their God-given functions. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 But the issue is that we are going somewhere. We are going somewhere. Let's go to the second thing we want to learn here. That is the abdicated kings. Is somebody learning something? Abdicated kings. This word is a monarch word. And it means to renounce one's throne. When you read Joshua chapter 10 verse 16, the Bible points out to five different kings. The Bible says they have fled and they have hidden in the caves at Makeda. Tonight, today, the king is hidden in caves. And these caves is in Ghana. Some is in the United States. Some is in China. Some is in South Africa. Some is in Kumasi. Pepias, Northern Region, Central Region. We are hidden. We have abandoned our call. We've denounced our throne. Just recently, Prince Harry and the wife, Meghan, they were trying to abdicate their royal titles. So when you abdicate your royal titles, it means that you cannot function in the capacity in which you are. And the rights and privileges that belongs to you would also be forfeited, would not be given to you. So the issue is that if you abdicate your throne as a king, you will not just fulfill the will of God, but the blessing that also belongs to you, you would not also have it. You would not also have it. Do not also have it. You see, the sad thing is that some people abdicate their kings because of early success. Because of early success. they succeeded early. And when they succeeded early, they thought they have reached. And they thought, I have arrived. I am the boss in town. I am the Oga. I am the king. I am the chef. And they were there. And because of that, instead of them to work hard towards great influence, they stopped along the way. Some also do it unknowingly. Some do it knowingly, and some do it unknowingly. I wonder how many potentials that have been retired because of early success. I wonder how many potential. I wonder how many abdicated kings out here right now listening to me are in church without crowns. A king without crown. A king without glory. A king without territory. My God. I pray that your eyes will be opened in the name of our Lord Jesus. And as your eyes is opened, may you stand up and stand tall. May you stand out. May you stand tall. My God. My God. My God. May you stand out. May you stand tall. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Stand out and stand tall. In the name of Jesus. You know, throughout scripture, if you check scripture, the loss of war by a king has always been the death of the leader. Whenever an empire, whenever a territory loses war, it means that the king dies. It is that automatic. It is that automatic. So if God created you in your area and you are ignorant to this call, it means that you are dead. You are walking, but you are dead. You are praying, but you are dead. You are eating, but you are dead. You are laughing, but you are dead. I pray for you through the message of God. Even if you die, may God resurrect you to this call. May you not think for you yourself and for your family alone. May you think broad. May you have a generational mindset. And may you think for those that will come after you. May you think about your country. May you think about your region. Do not give out and do not give in the name of Jesus. And may you not stay at one territory. May you rise up and rise up and rise up and rise up in the name of Jesus. Now let's go to good kings, bad kings. Good kings, bad kings. Hallelujah. If you read the Bible in the Old Testament, you would find out that we had good kings, and at the same time, we had bad kings. Some were loved and respected, honored, celebrated, and elevated. But others were also abhorred, rejected, and despised because of what they did. Whilst the women of Israel and of Judah were using their cloth for some kings to walk on, the same people wanted to kill their king. What happened? What happened? If you follow the pages of scripture carefully, strenuously, if you follow the pages of scripture, you would always see a certain fashion, a way that God made a good king. There was a particular kind of living. There was a particular kind of lifestyle that defined good kings. And if you were found outside of such a lifestyle and such a fashion, then that would be paramount to failure and bad leadership and bad rulership and bad kingship. My God. My God. You see, that when you come to God and when you read the pages of scripture, you find something that there has always been an expected behavior of kings and queens. Why did Vashti lose her throne? Why did Vashti lose her throne? There has always been an expected behavior of kings. There have always been an expected behavior. And in every culture, it is not the king that defines the culture. The king came to meet the culture. And the king must do according to culture. That is why you can be a king, but you can be ensued by law and forces in the culture, in the terrain. And our God, our Master Jesus, our Savior, our friend, our Jesus, is the King of Kings. So there has been a culture. Jesus is our prototype. He is the first of our kind. He is the first of the New Testament King. So we can only look at the models of how the Old Testament people lived, and we compare our lifestyle to them and compare them to kingdom values and kingdom principles and decode and ascertain how we should live. In the typical African culture, there has always been something that characterizes every king of every tribe. There are things that when a queen or a king does, we can rightly guess and predict where this king is coming from. Just their mere appearance, we can be able to deduce where this particular king is coming from. Just their mere appearance. Just some words that they will say. Just some moves, some dance moves that they will do. We can be able to know, this king is coming from this place. I pray that your eyes of your understanding be open. I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be opened. So when men see your life and they look at your life, do they get to know that you derive your kingship from the authority of Jesus? Is the question. When men look at you, do they get to know that you derive your kingship and your authority from Jesus? There are indices in the life of every king. There are attestations whether as to your kingship is from Jesus or is not. Whether as to your kingship is godly or not. There are things that attest to the fact that you are a good king or you are a bad king. Your life shows. Your lifestyle will depict. Your deeds will depict. Your heart will depict. Where your treasure is will depict. Where your fame goes will depict. How you live your life will depict. Who you honor will depict. Who you dishonor will depict. Who your counsel is will depict. Who counsels you will depict. Whether you are counseled by the first Ahithophel or by the second Ahithophel. There are things about you as a believer that should betray you. Yes. And one of the things that should betray you as a believer is your lifestyle. If your lifestyle does not betray you as a believer, there is a problem. Yeah. Quote me everywhere. Quote me everywhere. If your lifestyle does not betray you as a believer, there is a problem. If you stay at a place for a year and your lifestyle did not betray you that you are from Jesus, with Jesus, and by Jesus, then yeah, there is a problem. Then go back to the mirror, that is the word of God, and see your true self.
My God.
If you do not live in a certain fashion, if the thing that we don't see, the ingredients we don't see in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing that should betray you in life, it is not your friends who should betray you. Let your lifestyle betray you as a Christian. The day your lifestyle will always, the moment your lifestyle always betray you, it means you have reached and you are on the road. That is not the quote I said. I said, if your lifestyle does not betray you as a believer, if the as a believer does not come, the quote is very, very incomplete. The Lord bless you. You see, whenever you are dealing with God, so it's a Sunday, what you say? What's a Sunday? Never believe an issue. Whenever we are dealing with God, Jesus is Lord, we must understand that we are approaching a God who is very systematic in his approach. God is not a haphazard God. God is not haphazard in his approach. God is not haphazard in his ways. God does not do anything anyhow. No, he's a systematic God, an ordered God. God is very ordered. And all the schemes of God is systematic, ordered. God irons his clothes, dries his clothes, polishes his shoes. God does all these things. You will never see God in an iron cloth. Never. He is very systematic. Very ordered. So, after you encounter the person of Christ, you must also encounter the ways of God. So, if you miss the ways of God, even though you have encountered the person of Christ, your whole life will be a mess. Your whole life will be something different. Your whole life will be a mess. There are certain things about God that is not bending. There are certain things about God that is not changing. We call them the non-bending patterns of God. And that is how God makes his people. And that is how God picks his kings. So every king that God testified about, and right now, very soon you go there, every king that God testified about lived a kind of lifestyle, did some kind of things. Every person that God said, this person grew and served his people and served his generation, they had a certain fashion, a certain lifestyle, a certain approach. They did not just go, no. They had a systematic way of living. A systematic way of living. Glory to Jesus. You know, there is the societal way and approach to
towards our relationship now with God. You know, when working with men, your opinions should matter. That one there is true. You have rights, you have opinions. And our society now is full of rights and democracy. And it's very good for our civilization. It's very, very good for our civilization. But when you are dealing with, in terms of God and your relationship with God, the one who defined the terms is God and not you. The one who defined the term is God, and that is not you. So when God is calling you to the kingly calling, when God is calling you to your kingly destiny, He has a way, He has a pattern, He has a route, He has a place He wants to pass you through to attain such a height and such a dominion. As a king and as a queen, you don't suggest your methods of rulership. No king actually does that. No king. Even our earthly here, our earthly kingship and our earthly rulers, they don't decide their methods. There are methodologies defined by God already. So you must come and you must fall into that methodology. You only make amends and you only enforce those things. What you just need to do is that you surrender and you subscribe to the principles, the precepts, and the ordinations of God. Is somebody learning something? My God. Someone says, "Oh, I'm really learning." So don't come to God strict as a strict on you are not bending. Me, I do my things like this, and that is how I'm going to do. That is why a lot of things lose their circle of influence. God is not like that. There are methodologies already defined. Yours is to fall in line with that precepts. Yours is to fall in line with that principle. Yours is to fall in line with that ordinance. That is the key thing to making you a good king. If you reject such a method, such an ordinance, such precepts, it means you are moving to eternal, perpetual, bad rulership, bad kingship, and queenship. You see, there is this thing. When I was going through the Bible, the Lord opened my eye and I understood something. The Lord opened my eye and I understood something. After every king, especially in Kings, in from Samuel, Kings, and come to the genealogies, that is Chronicles, you will see that after every ruler, God lay out their transcript of their rulership. There is always the transcript of every ruler. I checked it and I saw that after every king, after every rulership, God lay out their transcript. Just like after you are done with school, you go for your transcript, and on the transcript contains everything that you did, all the courses you had A's, and all the courses that you bombed. The very same, every ruler in the Bible, after they die, God talks about them. That is their transcript.
And I was shocked. God will pick somebody and God will talk about somebody that you, this is your transcript. The summation and transcript, actually, a transcript only picks the highlights of what you did. The practicals that you did, the practical, the session B that you write, there are some people that session B, they can get 50%. But session A, they have two. So when he had it, when it's 52, the only thing that comes on the transcript is C. So transcript is highlights. And I saw that God, after every king, will write the transcript of the king. God will write down the transcript of the king. After your life, God will write something. After your life, God will write something. I pray that when God is writing something, it will be that you, a faithful servant, enter into my rest. I pray that when God is writing your transcript, and when God is signing your transcript, no, you yourself write your transcript. This is not God crying. Transcript, who writes the transcript? You yourself. The only thing that the school will do is that they endorse. When God is endorsing your transcript, when God is endorsing your transcript, you would have made good stuff about your rulership and your dominion on the earth. You see, people think that pride is only to be too known, but less known is also pride. Less known is pride. You see, when God says that you can eat three balls of kinky, then you say you only eat one, is pride. Exactly, false humility. When God says that you can build three houses, then you build one, is pride. When God says you can lay your hands on 50 people and all of them will be healed, then you laid your hands on seven, is pride. So mediocrity is pride. When you lie below your standards and your potentials, you are very pride. You are very prideful. You are very proud. It is like that. Glory to Jesus. I pray for understanding for somebody. I pray for understanding for you. So when one day it on your transcript, what should have appeared was that you should have had all A's, but you said, "Oh, medium, so I just want B's or C's." When you enter heaven, you account for that. The day you enter heaven, you account for that. So someone should read Daniel. Let's do this. Someone should paste 2 Samuel 8 verse 15. One person, 2 Samuel 8 15. Another person, 1 Kings 22 verse 43. 1 Kings 22 43. The first person, 2 Samuel 8 15. The other person, 1 Kings 22 43. Another person, 2 Kings 15 3. Another person, 2 Kings 15 34. So I'm looking for 2 Kings 8 15, 1 Kings 22 43. Another person, 2 Kings 15 3. And another person, 2 Kings 15 34. All right. Okay, 2 Kings 15. 22 is here. Okay. Okay. 15:3 is also here. Okay. I'm waiting for 2 Samuel 8:15.
I'm looking for 2 Samuel 8:15 and 2 Kings 15:34. Okay. 2 Kings is here. 2 Samuel is here. 2 Samuel 18:15. The Bible says, and David reigned all Israel. And David reigned all Israel. And David executed judgment and practiced justice unto all his people. This was the transcript of David, that David was a fair judge, and he was also a fair lawyer. So the Bible says that David served his generation, then he fell asleep. So when we pick the transcript of David, it was a good transcript. When you read the second, 1 Kings 22:43, the Bible says, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Here, God was talking about someone called Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat, after everything, the transcript of Jehoshaphat was a good transcript. The transcript of Jehoshaphat was a good transcript. We read the transcript of David was a good transcript. And 2 Kings 15 verse 3. 2 Kings 15 verse 3. The Bible said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So Amaziah and his son Azariah, all of them did right. They were good kings. The same applies. The same applies to Uzziah and his son Jotham. The same applied to Ahaziah. The same applied to Hezekiah. The same applied to Josiah. The same applied to Ahaz, Manasseh, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah. All of them, they did right. Their transcript, on their transcript, was good things. Then at the same time, someone should pick 1 Kings 15:3. 1 Kings 15:3. And another person, the same 1 Kings 15:34. 1 Kings 15:3 and 1 Kings 15:34. First Kings 15 verse 3. The Bible says, and he walked in all the sins of his father. He walked in all the sins of his father. So to someone, whilst other people on their transcript is good transcript, to them, to Nebat and Baasha, their transcript was bad. That is the very same thing that one day God will write about some people, good or bad. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. That when you are done with your rulership on the earth, you will dominate where God has assigned for you. You will have influence as a king. You will have influence as a queen. You will have influence in your space. That when your transcript is drawn, the one that is endorsed by God, it will be a good one. It will be a good one.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody, I know this message there to be very hard for people to love. Maybe when you're moving on to the other topics, that one there, people can, Jesus. Maybe the other topics, when you're talking about the wealth of kings, the fame of kings, that one there. But this, you see this one there, it comes with an atmosphere. My God. My God. My God. My God. You see, there are certain things that makes kings kings. Everybody, all those who went contrary to these three things I have come to mention about kings, they were executed. They died the death of a bird. They died the death of a prowler. They died the death of a devourer. They died the death of a prey. Three things. One is the anointing of kings. Two is the crowning of kings. Three is the blessings of kings. Let me explain before we end. The anointing of kings, the blessing of kings, the crowning of kings. You must be anointed as a king. You must be anointed. Say, I must be anointed.
I must be anointed.
I must be anointed.
I must be anointed.
In the name of Jesus. I don't want us to read long passages, but we know that David was anointed, right? We know that Saul, the first king of Israel, was anointed. We know that Jesus was anointed. The apostles were anointed. You must also be anointed. So, let's even change the topic. Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am anointed.
My God. My God. My God. You see, when we call something holiness. Holiness is not sexual. Somebody should hear me. Holiness is not sexual. When you say holiness, holiness means separation. So if someone is holy, it means that the person has been separated. So even sexual purity and everything is all under that. When you are separated by God for an assignment, you are holy. These things, Christians, we should understand. When you are separated by God for an assignment, you are holy. That is it. That is that. Even the scripture that talks about we should be pure without purity, without holiness, no one will see God without purity. It's talking about having God singly in your heart. It means that where no influence comes above God. So every king becomes holy because God separates them. So on the separation, they are anointed. On their separation, they are what? Anointed. They are anointed with enough oil. And the anointing set them apart. And it will confirm their special functions. Anointing will set you apart. And the anointing will announce and will confirm your special function that you are about to fulfill. And the anointing oil also serves as the public confirmation and declaration, so that everybody around will know that publicly you have been separated, anointed for this work. When you are anointed, there is an impartation that comes upon your life. There is a divine empowerment. There is a supply of grace for this special office. You see, quote this. You see, the difference between someone's results in God and your current state is the anointing. Hallelujah. The difference between someone's resource in God and your current state is the anointing. When you see that there is resource and there are proofs and there are attestations on the life of somebody, and you check yourself and you are not there, the only difference is oil. Anointing is the difference. When you are looking for difference, it's anointing. The difference of 2 and 4 is anointing. It's anointing. It's anointing. So to function adequately, to function to your full potency, you need the anointing. You need the oil on your life. Don't go and carry what someone is carrying if you are not anointed to carry what someone is carrying. That is where a lot of people die like that. The fact that you have muscles and you can pray more than somebody does not mean what they are doing you can do. You die. I remember back in school, one of my sons contacted me. He said, "Papa, Uncle Ben, why is it that you served in this place 3 consecutive years? Me, I served 1 year. And even before we ended the 1 year, I was tired. I told myself I will not continue again. What made you continue to serve and serve?" As a matter of fact, the person looks stature-wise, the person looks more body built. The person looks more body built. If it comes to capabilities, if it comes to kappa, we can just say that this person has kappa than myself. But the thing is not stature, the thing is not height, the thing is not kappa, the thing is the anointing. Because the anointing proves the kappa. Where someone serves for 3 years, when someone serves for a semester, the person can die. Every king needs an oil. If you don't have an oil, please get an oil. Go for an anointing. You need the anointing. Let me end. My time is left for 3 minutes. I want to obey my time. Let me talk about, if you want full message on anointing, you go on our page. I've published the anointing. We had an anointing service. You can have a full message. Yes. Let me come to the crowning of kings. Every king needs to be crowned. Every king needs to be crowned. In the scripture, Jesus was a king and he was crowned. He was given a king. The Bible, you know, you remember the gift that the Magi, the wise men, brought Jesus in Matthew 2. The Bible said they brought myrrh, they brought frankincense, and they brought gold. The gold that they brought to Jesus The spiritual connotation of the goat is the kingship of Jesus. The front incense symbolizes the deityness of Jesus. Then the mare was the oil. And this oil is the embalmment oil to his death. So Jesus was given gold to signify his kingship. But you know something? The mystery of kingship, the mystery of the from the anointing to the crown, is that anytime God will make you anointed first before he shows you the crown and before he gives you your dominion. Your anointing symbolizes your dominion. Jesus had to die first before all the dominion was established. Do you remember that in Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, David was anointed, but the throne was occupied. David was anointed, but the crown was occupied. The crown was not free, but he was anointed. He was anointed, though. God will always do that. He will do that. He will anoint you, and after he anoints you, you have to wait. When Jesus was anointed, Jesus had to wait till his death. After his death, in Philippians 2, that is where we saw the climax of the crowning of Jesus. Some of us, we cannot wait. We think he anointed. The fact that we are anointed means we need a throne and we need a territory. And we say, we are the Oga, we are the boss of town. That is not like that. It does not work like that. The issue is that the anointing will teach you process. There are a lot of anointed people who escaped process. The moment they escaped process, their dominion. Exactly. The moment you are anointed does not mean you must have a throne. David was anointed, but was serving in the court of Saul. The fact that you are anointed does not mean you are a king yet and you are dominating yet. Wait, be patient. That is where God will check character. You know, God deals with his people on their basis of their character with him. We learn that God shares secret to the people that fears him. God only shares his secret. The thing that God is about to do, he shares it with people who fear him, who revere him. He make it known to them. And that throughout scripture, there was a king. He was called Athaliah. Athaliah was very hard. His own son died. Instead of waiting for the next one to become king, no. He said, "Me, I have taken the crown for myself. I have crowned myself. Mashiach and intend by force." At the end, he just ruled for just 7 years. At the end, he was executed. He died the death of a dog. Wait. wait for your dominion and your enthronement. Last thing, let me add, is the blessings of God. Every king, when he's been, when they crown him publicly, his people bless him. You need people to bless you. You need the mount to say good things about you. And that it is that which establishes you. The Bible says that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee bow and every tongue confess. So the knee bowing and the tongue confessing. The knee bowing and the tongue confessing means that people blessed Jesus. And it's climax his kingship. We've heard a lot. As you are going, may God open your eyes. Tomorrow you go deeper. You go to other sides. The honor, the dominion, the wealth of kings, the fame of kings. Hallelujah. But tomorrow is Thursday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so we are not meeting. So we will meet on Thursday rather. Hallelujah. But we are meeting tomorrow dawn for our sparkling deal. Come and be blessed. Come and be blessed. Come and be blessed. This dawn, someone sent me a testimony. My God. This dawn, miracles were happening. Instant miracles. People were receiving instant healing. Someone said he had problem with the at when we are done praying, results were manifested. Someone also sent me, and the message was thrilling. He says that, Uncle Ben, I have prayed and prayed, and I wanted to speak in tongues. I've tried everything possible, I could not speak. Today, you did not even talk about talking in tongues. As you were praying, and you are praying, and I was praying, so suddenly, I started to talk tongues. And my father started to interpret the tongues for me. So, to some people, they listen to the podcast with their family. He says that as the person is right here, the person just commented, right here. He says, as we were praying, I started to talk tongues. Oh God. What a testimony. So there will be a day that heavens will know that this, my daughter, started having a heavenly tongue because of this program. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. Mrs. Cordelia, God bless you. This is a blessing. More and more will be coming. More and more will be coming. More and more will be coming. People were receiving instant healing. Some people had problems with their head, with their waist problems. Instant, they were healed. They were healed. Rise to prayer and let's pray. And I was impressed. When I ended the podcast, I checked. And I had over 109 people. Let me check the number again. I don't want to give it. And right, our numbers are now matching the evening. The door numbers are now matching the normal day numbers. And that is fine. That is nice. 109. Our normal days, we have 200 members. So if we have 109 at dawn, tell it is a blessing. It's a blessing. Okay. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. We want to pray for 2 minutes. We are praying. We are telling God, oh God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh God.
Oh God.
My God.
My God.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of
let
Jesus.
Your anointing.
Let your anointing
come upon my life.
Upon my life.
Let your anointing.
Let your anointing
come upon my life.
Come upon my
that
life.
I will have dominion.
You have dominion.
Will have dominion.
Dominion.
Will have dominion.
Have dominion.
In my terrain.
In my terrain.
In the name.
In the name
of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Thank Adam. You. Thank you for praying. Thank you for declaring. The Lord bless you. The Lord grace you. May the face of God shine upon you. May we rise up to our kingly call in the name of Jesus. May we rise up to this call that God has called us in the name of Jesus. Be the dominator. Be the controller. Be the influence in your circle, in your sphere, in your nation, in your continent. In the name of Jesus. May God raise kings and priests and prophets through your womb. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Bye-bye. Amen, sister. Amen. Starting at 2.